Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of a podcast named Tim. We're a father and son movie review podcast. We talk about movies. It's just that simple. Three each week. This week we're doing the 80s. And to represent the 80s, we have The Breakfast Club, Willow, and First Blood. So a nice mix. We're available everywhere podcasts are. So if you have any audio platform you use, whether it be Apple, Spotify, etc., give us a subscription, follow us, leave a rating and review, all that good stuff. As many stars or as many 10 out of 10s, 5 out of 5s as you can. And of course, we do have a YouTube channel, which is, of course, a podcast named Tim. We have Power Ranger reviews up there, Mandalorian reviews, and so much more coming. With that being said, we do have a website, podcastnamedtim.com, and social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. Facebook and Instagram are probably the best ones to reach us at. I'm Zach. Dad, how are you today, good sir? I think I hit all my marks.
Sound like it, and I'm doing fantastic.
Good, YouTube?
Did you mention YouTube?
I did mention YouTube.
Because we're on YouTube.
We are on YouTube.
And they need to subscribe.
Subscribe and like all the videos. Watch all the videos and like all.
Yep.
That's how that works.
Subscribe. Like.
Okay. Share. Well, yes. Yes, all that good stuff. Well, we're doing the 80s today, but if you've never checked out this show, let me just, because we are doing something new now with these videos, let me tell you two things. One, why are we called a podcast named Tim? We couldn't come up with a name for a podcast, and so we dug into our Monty Python book and went with Tim as a name. Two, we do a little five-minute talking, just generally talking about what else we've been watching, and then we get into the movies. So if you want to skip ahead a few minutes to get straight to the movies, I'll try and figure out how to put timestamps in the video so you can do that. So with that being said, what else have you been watching this week?
Well, there's a plethora of things now. Everything's, all my shows are starting back. So we got, This Is Us, and of course, Station 19 and Grey's Anatomy, the juggernaut started back. You know, I knew Grey's Anatomy and that was going to be nothing but COVID.
Right.
And I expected that. I was okay with that one. Boy, they are digging right deep into COVID. The whole storyline is based on it, what the hospital is going through. And if anyone can watch it without a lump in their throat, you ain't human, because that's crazy.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure.
We started the HBO series, The Undoing, with Nicole Kidman and Hugh Grant. I think it's 3 episodes in. It was good. And we started last night watching the FX, A Teacher.
A Teacher.
Maybe with that one.
I ain't never heard of that.
It's, it's about grooming. And I don't mean combing your hair.
I understand.
So it's pretty good so far. We'll see where it goes. Kind of got a little, it's a little creepy. Got a little 13 Reasons Why kind of feeling.
Okay.
But we'll see where it goes. And then other things, Lord, I don't know. I think I've watched some other movies, but I can't remember them now.
I had a pretty light week. I watched, caught up on some Yu Yu Hakusho. And by caught up, I mean I'm trying to watch a show from several decades ago. I hadn't watched in a week or so. So watched a few more episodes of that. And then From a Certain Point of View, the Empire Strikes Back version came out. And if you go on the channel, we do have a book review for, which one did I do? Crash of Fate, for Star Wars Crash of Fate. We're going to be doing one for From a Certain Point of View, hoping to have that up by December 1st. But basically, it's 40 short stories that take place during Empire Strikes Back. So basically, if you are a background character, you get your little short story to explain what you were doing at that moment and your point of view of what was going on. One of the funniest ones in some respects, and just to show you the depth that they will go to, it shows off the good and bad of Star Wars. Good, because it's a fully fleshed out universe and you can see how it can handle so many different types of stories. Bad, because every single person gets a story. they actually did a story with, you remember in the when they're on Hoth and there's the hallway and Han and Leia are having their little fight and someone walks in between them to cut them off?
Yeah.
So that person got a story.
Oh, jeez.
And that, they were a runner. You said what?
Is that person even credited in the...
Probably not. Probably not. But they were a runner. They ran goods for the in the facility. They wanted to be a soldier and be put on sentry duty, but they just couldn't cut it. They felt very bad about themselves, and they had a romantic interest who they were very nervous around. And, of course, the line that Han uses is, you could use a good kiss when this person's walking by. And finally, this person builds up the courage to tell this person how they feel, and they said, you could use a good kiss. So they stole Han's line, and it worked that time, too.
Wow. What, on Hoth.
Yes.
What color is Han Solo's jacket?
It's blue, right?
That's what I thought, too. I read a thing today that it's not. It's brown. Why okay. It comes off as blue, I don't know, because it is blue. I remember it being blue because it was so different, but apparently it's brown.
Okay. Well, yeah. So
where I read that this week, I have no idea where or what. I was like, all right.
Okay.
Just another one of those useless trivia that gets stuck in my head.
Well, yeah, so expect a review of, I'll probably list like some of the best stories from it, some of the worst stories, and just general thoughts, but that'll hopefully be coming in a couple weeks. It was like an 18-hour audiobook because it's 40 short stories, so it's going to take a little time to get through.
Well, help me with the pronunciation of this. I did dip my toe into super... What's it called?
Sentai?
Yes. Sentai. That's what I was saying, but I didn't know.
Yes.
Yeah. I dipped my toe into that to see what that was like. Because I grew up with their Power Rangers, like you. Well, not grew up. I grew up with you with the Power Rangers watching it. So I know Power Rangers, but I did not know. And I knew there was the footage was from a show over there, but I didn't know anything about it. So I kind of watched it. I like it.
You watch a little Zoo Ranger.
Yeah, it's got lyrics and everything.
Yeah. I've watched about 4 or 5 episodes of Zoo Ranger, and it's really good. It's very well-paced. It's actually a better-written show. And
I like it because you get more of the villains.
Yeah, they're much more maniacal.
It's not so edited because they had to cut all the interaction with them when they're not morphed out or whatever it's called there. So you get all that too. So yeah, Bones was like, oh wow, he's in this quite a bit.
And you get an actual reason why these Rangers are being chosen. It's not just let's find teenagers who were these are ancient. They're like the greatest warriors of their different tribes, and they've been frozen in time waiting for which Bandora to come back, and they provide a story and they build up to things, and there's like two-parter episodes. It's very well done.
I was glad there was no Zordon and Alpha 5 in it. I didn't realize that Alpha 5 was an American creation. I should have, but I didn't.
So it was
good so far.
Yeah, no, it's pretty good. Unfortunately, I want to go back and watch some of the other ones. You can't go back further that I've seen than Zoo Ranger, even though it's been around since the 70s.
Well, the one I'm watching is from 75, I thought.
Was it? Okay.
Well, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's not... Is the one that coincides with Mighty Morphin Power Rangers not?
No, that's like only like, well, it might be from the 70s, but actually, I think it's only a couple years before that, because if you remember, Zoo Ranger's been around to like the 60s or 70s. There's like 15 or 16 different versions of that before we even get to Power Rangers.
Oh, see, I didn't know that, because they supposedly had the complete, when I was looking up and researching where to watch it, it's Shout TV.
Yeah, they have all.
Okay.
They have everything from then on.
Okay.
Because apparently, I think it's called Jetman, Jet Ranger, something like that, if you were to translate it. It's the season before Zoo Rangers, and it's like bird-themed, I think, like falcons and stuff. But apparently, it's pretty dark, and I've been wanting to watch that.
All right. Well, it's only available like if you can find a videotape of it or something?
I would imagine, and I don't think there's any videos that have been English dubbed. And it makes sense. Why would you go back further for people?
Oh, I didn't watch it dubbed. I watched it subbed.
Yeah.
I try not to do dubbed.
No, yeah, I watched this subbed as well, but yeah, I don't think I have not been able to find any of the ones before that.
Gotcha.
So,
All right. Cool.
well, that's about it. You want to go ahead and start with these movies?
Absolutely.
Again, Willow, First Blood, and The Breakfast Club. We're going to start with Willow, which, but before we do that, we're going to take a quick moment to pause. And if you listen to the audio version, you're going to hear a word from our sponsor. So, Willow, of course, came out in 1988, has a 7.3 on IMDb. On the Rotten Tomato meter, it has a 51, but a 79 from the audience score. So, a bit of a discrepancy there. It has a 2 hour and 6 minute runtime, PG rating, directed by Ron Howard, written and I believe produced by one George Lucas. So a nice, interesting cast there, or behind the scenes cast. Of course, stars Val Kilmer, Joanne Whaley, I guess that's how it's pronounced, Warwick Davis, Jean Marsh, etc., etc. We had both watched this before. It had been a while since I had seen this, so I'd forgotten most of it. You selected it because of the Disney series coming out, but what did you think of your recent viewing of Willow?
I liked it a lot more than I used to. I hated this when it was in theaters. I felt like it was Time Bandits Part Two. It was just pretty much all the same cast. It felt like it. It just, I don't know. It was just, I just didn't like it. I don't know why back then I didn't like it, but and I didn't like it as much in the middle when I watched it, which I have no idea when that was. But this time, I don't know. I appreciated it a little more. I still thought the blue screen effects were pretty crappy, although they're being hailed and everything I read. So I guess that in '88 they were fantastic. But yeah, I kind of liked it. It was a nice little simple story, and it was a good fantasy movie. Wasn't anything. It's not my favorite. It's not the best thing ever written, but it was all right. George Lucas, Ron Howard, hey, why not?
Name a redeeming quality of this film.
I like it. Kind of made me feel good because the little guy kind of won.
Okay.
That was about it. It was, it just was a nice little tale that the underdog, even the underdog, not just to the whole realm, but to even his own people, he was considered to be a joke. But somehow he made it through, bluffed his way through, ended up with a nice little feeling, got the little baby where it needed to go, took care of business, came home safe and done. Why not?
I forgot how bad this movie was.
So we went opposites this time.
So here's the thing. There are a lot of movies in the 80s, for some reason, I don't know why. Maybe you can explain this to me. Why was the fantasy realm such the big go-to for kids in the 80s? And yet this, The Dark Crystal, Princess Bride, Time Bandits, etc. I mean, there were just so many of these movies. NeverEnding Story. And there's so many of those.
Just like everything in Hollywood, things go in cycles. If somebody does it, and so everybody's gotta try to emulate it, to make it just a ripoff. It was
Well,
it was what it was. I mean, this is my era of movies. This was certainly not my fantasy's never been my
yeah,
thing.
same.
So, because the NeverEnding Story is one of the most boring pieces of crap that I've ever tried to watch. I hate that movie. Time Bandits, horrible. Again, I didn't say this was a great movie. I said I enjoyed it. There's a difference.
Okay.
Definitely.
I've never seen Time Bandits. That's the only one of this era I've never seen. I think Willow may be the worst of the fantasy films.
Well, then we're guess you're going to have to watch Time Bandits
I
sometime
guess we're
coming
gonna
up
have to
here, so
watch
we
that.
can.
We reviewed Dark Crystal earlier in this year in the show, season one. I'd rather watch Dark Crystal. I think it has redeeming qualities because it has such
Well,
great.
time out, time out. Dark Crystal
Is
did not
better.
have Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer is sometimes a blessing and a curse.
I like Val Kilmer.
He's fine sometimes. But yeah, it had Dark Crystal had such great puppetry. This didn't, to me, didn't have good effects. It didn't have good music.
Oh, what? James Horner's. James Horner. This music has been sampled so many times in the 80s and 90s, and it went for $10,000 a pop.
That's fine.
Anytime you wanted to sample this James Horner piece, $10,000 in his pocket. I liked the music. I thought the music was nice.
I didn't care for it. It was forgettable.
And you got Billy Barty. Come on, Billy Barty, man. He was the go-to little guy when I was. Anything that needed a little person, put Billy Barty in. And then you got Phil. You got cameos from Kenny Baker. Kenny Baker shows up there. So little R2-D2's in there. There's a rumor, and I'm actually going to go back and try to see if I can find him, that Peter Dinklage is in it from Game of Thrones. He supposedly is one of the people. He's like 17 years old, same age as Warwick Davis. Warwick Davis was only 17 years old when they filmed this, so which is kind of crazy because he had to do a lot for any regular actor, especially learning stuff. But imagine a little person having to learn all that horse riding and swinging things and swords and. It was pretty, I thought it was pretty cool.
I could only imagine, and I'd love to, you know what I'd like to see, when they do those documentaries about behind the scenes of movies?
Right.
I want to see Kevin Pollak, I want to see them follow Kevin Pollak through his thoughts.
That's on what's so scary. Because my next line was going to be, if I had an editing wish, Kevin Pollak and Rick Dukerman would be ripped out of this film immediately. Those are two of the most annoying characters ever. Yeah, they didn't add anything to the story either. I'm not sure why they got that. And I love Kevin Pollak, but Kevin Pollak without a Shatner imitation, do we need Kevin Pollak on a screen without doing Shatner? Never.
Yeah, never. You know what was fascinating about this? I was thinking about it because this came out. This is obviously, I guess, Lucas's first big project after Star Wars that I can think of.
Was it? Yeah, it probably was.
Why did anyone have any hope that The Phantom Menace was going to be good? Didn't they see this and go...
Stop hating on the Phantom Menace and all those. Those first three... If they could somehow figure out how to edit out Hayden Christensen's acting, aren't that bad? Come on,
they're not as bad as they are more redeemable than they used to be.
And they definitely, they definitely should get a boost after these last three, which I don't hate on either, because Star Wars is Star Wars. What are you going to do? If you like it, you like it. But yeah, the first three are not that bad.
But so. can't tell you my favorite part about this movie.
Absolutely.
There was a part where, I don't remember the context of it, because immediately after seeing this movie, it went from my brain. But my favorite part was he gets a seed, some kind of magic seed at one point, and I immediately thought of one of my favorite movies, Message from Space. And I was like, is he getting a Leabe seed? Is he one of the chosen seven?
Absolutely.
Is George Lucas ripping people off again?
Well, yeah, but I mean, all that's in the same vein. I mean, yes. Like this wasn't Star Wars, it was still kind of Star Wars. We got Luke Skywalker. We got heading to try to take the droid to, come on. It is what it is.
I
picked it because I thought it was really 80s, because like you said, 80s was fantasy.
Yeah.
And I really couldn't think of it. I almost did Time Bandits. I almost did Time Bandits, but I'd been seeing Willow up on the Disney screen for a couple months, so it just kind of popped in my head. Now, you went through, I'd say there was probably 100 movies that went through my head with the 80s. So,
oh, yeah.
I ended up with this, but.
Well, and the other thing is, I did see a GIF. It's always fun to go back and watch some of these older movies and see what has translated into modern day pop culture in some respects that you can GIF. And Pigs, the Pigs thing where she's just yelling Pigs. There's a GIF of that if you want to send that.
Is there really?
Yes, there is.
Wonderful.
It's interesting to see what carries over, which that was hilarious. I will say this, that makeup. and that transformation for people. That was really well done.
I didn't like the witch either.
I didn't like anything about this movie. So
nothing.
I like the pigs. The pig transformation was good.
Widget's in it.
You said what?
Widget's in it. Not an Ewok guy, are you?
There's only one Warwick Davis movie worth watching, and that's the Leprechaun series, and that's half of them.
Oh, come on. I said, you saw George Lucas actually wrote the story for Warwick Davis.
I did. He was. I don't mean this in a bad way. I don't know if Warwick Davis is built to be a quote unquote leading man and carry a story.
Well, that's what made it so good. He wasn't.
I don't mean because he's not built. I just mean his acting ability. I don't think Warwick Davis can carry a film.
He carried Leprechaun. He carried Willow. He carried what else? What else was Warwick Davis done? No, he's done some other stuff. Pretty sure. I just can't think of him right now. I like Warwick Davis.
He's a very nice man, I'm sure.
I've never met him. He could be a douchebag.
He could be. I'm sure he's a very lovely man. It's just, and this isn't,
You don't like it. I get you. So what is this? Is this on your watch once or never watch at all?
Maybe watch once.
Just so you can hate on the little guy.
No, just, to see Ron Howard and George Lucas join forces.
Ron Howard hadn't quite honed his skill yet.
There's a movie podcast I listen to. And I think it was them. They kind of just talk about Ron Howard making very by the numbers. Like, he doesn't do anything amazing. He just makes, he gives you the bare minimum that you need to make like a B movie.
Really?
Do you think Ron Howard goes above and beyond in his directing?
Absolutely. Opie is my man.
Oh, I like Opie, but they were just like, he's a watered-down Spielberg.
And, a little crossover, who directed this past week's Mandalorian?
Bryce Dallas Howard.
His lovely daughter. So, there you go. She's following in daddy's footsteps.
And if you want to know my thoughts on the most recent episode, go to YouTube.
And subscribe.
Subscribe.
Ask them to subscribe. Yeah, if you watch all the things, this is Don't Be Afraid to Subscribe. Don't be afraid to ask them to subscribe. So that's right. The subscribe button.
That's right. Well, let's go ahead and hop to my selection for the week, which was First Blood. Of course, I'm sure most people would just call it Rambo, but it is not. It is First Blood. It is the first Rambo movie, R-rated, 1 hour and 33-minute runtime, 7.7 on IMDb, a 85 on the tomato meter, and 85 on the audience score. So it is certified fresh. And, it of course, stars one Sly Stallone. And that's all you really need to know. I mean, there's other people in it, but it's a Stallone.
Brian Dennehy, man.
Yeah, okay. He's Brian in it. it's a Stallone movie. That's all you need to know.
Brian Dennehy is, his part is essential to this movie.
It is very essential. I had never seen this. This is my selection. I wanted to dip my toe. I mentioned I wanted to get an action movie, and obviously Stallone and Schwarzenegger are the action pinnacle of action in the 80s. And so it was not what I expected at all, but I really, really, really enjoyed this movie. I thought it was great. I was expecting just, we're going to do a war movie or something, or he's going to beat up a bunch of bad guys. I wasn't expecting it to be.
That's the sequels.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting it to be PTSD themed and dealing with the local police as the quote unquote bad guys. And I really, really enjoyed it, especially that first hour where he is out in the jungle. I think when he gets out of the jungle or the forest, when he gets out of the forest, I think it slows down a little bit until that last speech. But good acting from Stallone. Good action. had this like terror vibe to it, like a little predator vibe where he's picking them one off one and one. I really enjoyed this film. I thought it was great. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I liked it. I liked it originally anyway, but I did admittedly have forgotten about it and gone on to Rambo 2, because Rambo 2 was what you were talking about, just tough guy going and kicking everybody's ass, and that was great. But yeah, this one was definitely more story-driven. It was a nice story. What a douchebag the police force was, and Shakira. I mean, geez, just the fact that just that first scene when they met, that it, when he drove him out of town and all that. I was like, I mean, it's not like the guy, he wasn't, and he kept saying he was dirty and all, but he had long hair. I don't know what he smelled like. Maybe he smelled bad, but it's not like he, you know, looked like a homeless person. He just looked like a guy wearing a military jacket with a backpack. Big deal.
Yeah.
See them all the time. But yeah, he was definitely mistreated. I think they got what was coming to him. You know, they picked on him a little too much, the wrong person, with the, which I don't know, it wasn't PTSD then. I forgot exactly what they called it right after that. But the guy was, I would love to see the 4-hour version that Stallone hated, to see just how, just because of Bosley, he's in it double the amount of time. Mm-hmm. And he actually, you know, I give Stallone props for being able to say, take me out of this movie.
Mm-hmm.
You got to scale back my horrible, and you got to build more with the police and tell it to their story. I was like, all right, that's wow. This guy understands movie making, which as far as I'm concerned, if you watch the movies that he's directed and put together, written like Rocky, he does understand movie making.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No,
storytelling. I don't care how much people want to make fun of his acting and the other things in his life, well, but the guy he's an action star.
He leans into it sometimes on purpose, obviously.
Absolutely. But, you know, which one of the successful story stars of that kind of genre movie don't?
Yeah.
This is what Walking Tall should have been, which is the same kind of movie. You know, you got the guy walks into town and everybody's not liking him. But it's really boring. Both, even the Rock version, I don't care for. Mohawk version is horrible. This is what Chuck Norris movies and all that of the 70s should have been. Yes, I think they did. They both gave you enough action, enough story, mixed them in between, gave you a good... definitely a good heel, a guy you can root for. What more you want? It was a good movie.
Yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. You know, a movie it made me think of, especially when you mentioned 3-hour-long movies dealing with PTSD of the Vietnam War.
Deer Hunter.
You all can keep your effing Deer Hunter. Give me First Blood any day of the week. It is a better movie and with half the time talks about the same exact thing and does it better.
Well, except for the couple of scenes in Deer Hunter that are so mind blowing, the Russian roulette and then the cages and all that. And yeah, if you take those out of Deer Hunter, yeah, it's absolutely horrible, but I like those scenes.
And you know what? This movie got right to it.
Yeah.
It was like, stuff's going down. Like within the first 15 minutes, this was a popcorn movie, of course, but a more serious one in some respects.
I was about to say, it's borderline popcorn. It's a story. It doesn't have it's not just kick ass. It's got a story.
Yeah, this I was not expecting it. I went in full on just expecting like you said, what people think of the later Rambos or what the later Rambos became.
Right.
That's what I went in thinking. And so when I got this really good story and everything, I was just really surprised, really enjoyed it. And I will say, I saw that there was actually a book, I guess this was based on.
Yep.
And apparently in the novel, they get a little bit more into the sheriff and why he doesn't like him, which he was a Korean War veteran.
Kind of makes sense. I kind of wish they had touched on it a little bit. Yeah. Because I really, like I said in the beginning of this, I really didn't understand why he was so quick to be such a judgmental prick on this guy. But
which was, and did you look up the reason? I don't know if you.
Yeah.
So yeah, he was a Korean War veteran, and basically he was upset that people had kind of forgotten about him and his people and the things that they went through in some respects. That was my understanding of what I read.
The only thing that didn't make sense to that, I don't think, or to me anyway, from the era that I grew up in and what I grew up hearing, I don't remember people really protesting the people when they came back from Korea. They were still hailed as heroes.
Yes.
Vietnam had, you know, half the country, you know, didn't like them. I mean, where it was the hippies and the all those people were completely protesting them for even being over there. And instead of just taking it out on the government, they actually, for the first time ever, took it out on the actual soldiers that came back. My dad was in Vietnam, but he came back before it got crazy, so he didn't have to experience too much of that. But, you know, from stories I've heard, they treated pretty crappy when they got back. Yeah. So no wonder they had some issues. This, the later movies, they sell out, absolutely. I still like them. Now, I haven't seen the new one. I haven't seen the new incarnation. I just saw the first three. The ones are out right in a row. I think they've made two since then, right?
Yeah, they made, it was Rambo, it was First Blood Part 2, or Rambo First Blood Part 2, Rambo 3, and then they made just a movie called Rambo, and then they made Rambo Last Blood, I think.
Maybe that's what it is. And I haven't seen the last two. I don't know why. I didn't necessarily want to see a 70-year-old Stallone playing, trying to play the character. I would like to watch, I don't know if it goes, I wanted to watch it just to see, does it go back to pretend it was a little after that, or does it actually play now?
Right. I would imagine it does.
Because I don't know if they did the whole, the Gemini, like they did with Will Smith and made him back young. Yeah, I don't know about those.
What did you think of his ending speech where he breaks down?
I mean, there's where his lack of acting.
I thought he did a good job.
The speech part was okay, but when he got into the, I don't know, it was okay. I think he felt it. I think he thinks he did a good job.
I thought he did good. I thought he did really good.
I'll tell you, and the best thing about this movie, they did not, thank goodness, bog us down with some stupid-ass love story on the side. Some damn love interest. And as I was watching, I was like, I don't think there's any, I'm pretty sure this doesn't go into that. I couldn't remember. And I kept waiting, going, please don't meet some local girl and fall in love. But luckily, no, they kept it exactly what it's supposed to be about. Because how many of these kind of movies, they ruin some stupid side love story that has nothing to do with it. You don't need, look, if you make a chick flick, and there's nothing wrong with chick flicks. I love chick flicks. Watch them all the time. If you want to make that to get your female audience in, fine. This kind of movie, leave it alone. We don't need to ruin a whole story, slow down the pacing of a movie to a halt just so we can put some forced love story where the people meet each other and they're on screen for 2 minutes and the next thing you know, it's the love of their life and their soulmate and they just can't live without them. I hate that. That's so forced.
They drew blood first. No, this was great.
The second best line. The first best line from Rambo is in the second movie.
Oh, okay. So and
second one.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I thought about watching it after this. It also, of course, made me want to watch Hot Shots. Of course, part of Dude. Great movie. Great movie.
I was tying my bandana on.
Well, let's. I think this is absolutely should watch. I will probably watch it again. This is a great film.
John Rambo.
John J. Rambo. Well,
was it Jimmy?
It was. It was John J. Rambo.
So people. Yeah. Just thinking of another person that has a J in their name.
Okay.
We'll move on.
Okay. That works for me. Well, we're going to hop to our last film of the week. It is The Breakfast Club. And that is our rating, 1 hour and 37 minute runtime, a 7.8 on IMDb. On the tomato meter, it has a 89% certified fresh, of course, and a 92 from the audience score. There are very few movies that probably perfectly define a decade than The Breakfast Club. This, when I thought about doing the 80s, this was probably the first movie to come to mind. It one, John Hughes obviously had an amazing run during that decade and past that, but this is quintessential 80s. You got the Brat Pack. I'll let you take it away. This is your era, and then obviously this is one of your favorite movies of all time. But what is it about this movie that is so amazing?
It's just, you just said it. It just makes you feel like you're in the 80s. I was watching this, and I was back in high school. This was, I knew every one of these characters. I knew every one of these people. Hung out with a few of them. This is my favorite John Hughes movie. I'm not saying I think it's his best, but I know there are people who argue that. And there are maybe better ones, but this is my favorite one. This is always in my top 10 movies probably of all time for me. I'm not talking about cinematic wise. It's just to me, I will watch this anytime it's on. I own it. It's just a great movie. It's no special effects, no craziness, small cast, one scene, nothing crazy. And it definitely, I don't know. I'm not sure how old John Hughes was when he wrote this, but he nailed it. I mean, he nailed mm-hmm. the perfect. It just is so nostalgic to watch this. I've seen it 100 times. Your sister and I, we actually both have T-shirts, Breakfast Club T-shirts, that we like. And I can quote this movie. This is another one like Smokey and the Bandit, and so many that I don't have to watch. I could probably just sit here and just run the movie through my head without even having to watch it. But I don't think there's a weak link in it. Everybody's from Paul Gleason to Ally Sheedy, who doesn't have that much of a role in it. It's just great.
Yeah, I think Ally Sheedy's the weird. Picks. Yeah, I think she's a little bit of a wing. She's lower on the totem pole of the five.
Yeah, but her eyes, man, her eyes are so beautiful. I think she plays in the basket case perfectly. Yeah, I mean, I like Ally Sheedy.
So who are you? That is the question, of course. Which character do you relate to the most?
I am a mixture of all of them, unfortunately. I've had my moments of being Claire the fat girl, and I've been the basket case. Never really was the jock, so I can't really relate to his whole thing. I've been the smart ass. And I could pull out the brains when I needed to. I didn't do the chess club, but other than that, yeah.
That's probably as close as I'm going to get to relating to one of these characters.
Yeah. I've been all of them.
I mean, I played sports, but I would never classify myself as a jock.
I never had my my bra in the front seat on a hot summer night, but other than that, I think I've been all of them.
Yeah, it's... you have fives, like you said. I think it's just it's a movie. It's kind of, I don't want to say 12 Angry Men, but it's in that realm where we're just going to put interesting characters in a room together and let them react to each other. And right. They do such a great job of like you said, building these stereotypical characters and then slowly peeling back the layers and allowing the depth of the actual person to be there.
Nice.
It's a masterful job, in my opinion, in writing in that regard, in writing characters. And that's the main thing. It's just five people conversating, but somehow it's a gripping story that shouldn't be. It should be a boring movie. If you were to say, I'm going to show you a movie about five people sitting in a room together talking. In detention, whether or not it's supposed to be talking.
Sell it to me a little harder than that.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, that's what the movie is.
And the quintessential scene, or at least to me, is when they're all buddies, but they admit, Mundy ain't talking to you. Because mm-hmm. mm-hmm. that was high school. Everybody had their little cliques. I was lucky enough to kind of be able to circle in all the clicks. I don't know how I did it. I kind of had a rapport with each one of them. So it didn't really, at home, my friends were all jocks in the neighborhood. So I hung out with them. Yeah, it was just kind of weird. So I didn't really experience that. I don't know how that felt, but they, I definitely know that that was the way it was. Everybody had their own little groups they got into. And yeah, you got into a social situation when your friends weren't around. You were apt to talk to other people and experience it, but your friends are around. Hell no, I ain't talking to you.
Is Paul Gleason the best, like, teacher authority figure in movies?
He's great. He's great. He's just, he's what, unfortunately, what I think of sometimes when I think of teachers in the 80s, they're just waiting for their retirement. They just seem to have been calling it in. I don't think that's all teachers of era, but a lot of the ones I had, it's kind of what it felt like with a lot of them, that they, you know, here's your work, leave me alone, do your stuff. He's great. I mean, he's got some great lines when he's, I love when he's having him put the bookshelf in front of the door, and then immediately when he sees it's not working, he's like, what are you doing? Get this out of here. Like it was his idea and his fault. I mean, he's just great. The janitor is hilarious. Mm-hmm. When he tells them, you know, goes to that he listens to their conversations and goes to their lockers.
Mm-hmm.
It was fantastic. Again, there's nothing in this movie I don't like.
I think the best part is John is Bender when he decides to take one for the team and buy him a little bit more time in order, because he knows that he's going to be in trouble anyway all the time. So when he makes the sacrifice, that's kind of that's his little Han Solo moment.
I guess he's my favorite character anyway.
Yeah. Well, he makes the movie.
Yeah, I think he has the best role, the best story. Not now. Don't take this as I want to know now. I would have loved to, at the time, had some kind of know where this went.
Mm-hmm.
Not now. Don't be trying to. I don't need them as parents and having their kids in the same thing. And I don't need a remake, which I know they're doing. Which I will.
They're
not.
Remaking this?
They are remaking this, from what I understand. Now, they've been talking about that for years, so maybe that's just another shot in the dark. But I think it's past. I think it's past the script writing, so before it's never gotten to that. I'm not saying it couldn't be done. It absolutely could be updated. If you can think now of all the new society's dialogues that are out there now that weren't then, they could make a good movie. I'm not saying it wouldn't be, but I just wish they wouldn't. Maybe they could not make it a remake, but make it an updated version.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know how they would do that. It would only work if one of the original characters was now the principal or now the dean that was holding him in detention, or maybe they could work it into something and have, and I guess they could do something, but it would have to be in, boy, it'd have to be in the right hands. And it's a shame that John Hughes isn't around to help out with it, but yeah, I probably just leave it alone would be the safest bet. I would love to know where Claire and Bender ended up and what happened to all of them, but you know, it's way past that time.
I agree. Well, yes, if you haven't, I'd be surprised if you haven't seen The Breakfast Club if you're listening to this show, but
I have a feeling there the people born, I'm going to say the teenagers today probably maybe haven't seen this.
Yeah.
Why? I wish they would. I wish their parents would sit them down and say, hey, let's watch this together. This would be a great movie for parents to watch with their teenage kids.
Mm-hmm.
Let them see, you ain't nothing new under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
What you're going through, been there, done that. We get it. So I think so many parents forget about that and try to put themselves up on a pedestal like they, you know, they ain't ever done nothing. And
right.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not true.
Yes.
True. Probably did everything you did and way more.
That's right. Yes. Well, that is our wrap up on the 80s. I'm sure we will touch on this decade again at some point.
We need to do once a year 80s movies because this is, okay, like I said, I had 100 movies laid out and just started trying to break them down to 5 movies for you.
So, little programming note for everybody. Next week, we're going to be doing holiday films. Not necessarily Christmas, but I think they will largely. The week after that, we are going to jump to the 90s. I will go ahead and tell you, because I know you like to plan ahead. The main feature is going to be Jurassic Park. And then
yeah, I've only watched that 10 times in the last week with your little nephew. Who's,
yes.
I admit I'm a bad papaw. My skills are bad. I have let him watch Jurassic Park when he's 2.5 years old.
So. That's okay.
Go me.
Yeah. But, and then after that, it's going to be Christmas movies till the end of the year. Obviously we will be taking off that last week of the year and then we'll be,
what?
Yeah.
YouTube stars don't take off for Christmas, man.
Well,
one of us will be putting out some.
We're putting something out. We're going to be taking off from the audio podcast.
Yeah. I mean, come on.
And I'll pitch you on this for the beginning of the year. For the first episode, I thought it would be cool to do a movie from 100 years ago, a movie from 75 years ago, and a movie from 50 years ago. A little snapshot of history for movies celebrating their anniversaries.
Years ago.
Yes. There are two movies I have.
Film.
It would be, yes.
Is that being black and white?
But it would be 1921. It would be 1945 and then 1970. Would be the three.
1945. I think I have a favorite movie in that year. So
I think that's probably what we will do.
What was the third one?
The set 1970. So it'd be 21, 45, and 70.
Can we do a 1969? Actually, no. Anyway, 1970. Okay. Right.
So that's kind of where we're. Yeah, that's the roadmap.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. And you probably
stayed out with all the good feeling crap.
Yeah, and then we'll get into some fun stuff. But next week, our main feature is going to be the new Netflix original Jingle Jangle, which has just recently dropped. I already have my movie in mind. What's on general holiday, Thanksgiving, whatever you want to do?
Well, we're going to go back to the Into the Dark Vault.
Okay.
Because I enjoyed Pooka so well. And we're going to watch a movie called Pilgrim.
All right. Okay. So a little Hulu original there. Well, that's funny because my movie is a Disney Plus original. And it's dropping on Tuesday, November 17th. We're going to do the new Lego Star Wars holiday special.
Oh, yeah. Perfect.
So
that's why you did the holiday movie already. Almost said, why are we doing holiday already? But, all right.
With Jingle Jangle and Lego Star Wars, it just seemed to make sense.
Jingle.
So that'll be a nice mix of films.
This is old Kris Kringle.
And then I have my movie picked out for the 90s already, but I'm not going to tell you. But the main feature, again, will be Jurassic Park. I thought that was a good kind of cornerstone 90s film.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Plus, I've seen it.
Plus that.
That marks one off the list. I got to do then.
That makes it easy. Well, anything else to add before we shut this episode down and move on to more fun things?
Felt like there was something else, but I've heard a rumor we're on YouTube.
We are on YouTube. We're going to be doing Beast Morpher reviews, Mandalorian reviews, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. This video of this.
Morpher reviews are my favorite.
They're doing very well.
Well, and they're the most fun to edit. I've been enjoying editing them because I've already watched them. I'm way ahead of you on them, so I'm getting to watch them kind of again and pay a little more attention to them. And that's a damn fine Power Ranger show.
It's a good show.
It's a good show. Can't wait for Dino Fury.
I can't either. And actually, probably right before Dino Fury comes out, we're going to be releasing on the YouTube a top 10 Power Rangers series of all time as voted by you through IMDb scores. So that'll be coming out in probably January, February timeframe.
You know, the best way not to miss that is to subscribe.
On YouTube. That's it. Hey. Well, we will see you all next week.
I'm not even trying to get paid, homie. I'm not trying to get paid. It's ego.
Trying to have fun.
It's ego. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because I'm watching some really shitty-ass content on YouTube, and then I look over and see that it has like 100,000 views. I'm like, what?
Yeah. We're getting there. We're getting that secret sauce taken care of. So,
secret sauce.
Yes. Well, we will see you all next week.
Speaking of secret sauce, speaking of McDonald's,
yes,
McRib is about to drop.
I'm sure with your new veterinary diet, vegetarian diet, that'll.
I'm not eating dogs, people.
Vegetarian diet.
Yeah, some dogs.
I'm sure that, well, you will be when you eat the McRib.
I've been off of that for 2 weeks only because I was having some cravings I had to satisfy. I had to get my Popeye's chicken sandwich. Yes. Still as good as I remember. And I needed, I forgot what the other thing. Oh, I had a big, crazy hamburger from that place we were talking about. So.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm going to be back on it.
Okay. Well, I would say after the McRib, probably.
And Thanksgiving.
Yes. Well, we will see you all next week on a podcast named Tim. Thank you again for checking us out and rating and review us, telling a friend, all that good stuff. See you next time. Goodbye.
Subscribe. That do anything? Thank you.